finishing out a series we've been going throughout this month called No Perfect People Allowed. You can see on our shirts today, No Perfect People Allowed. And just one quick note, if you haven't gotten a shirt, we have a few left out of the Connection Center. You can pick one up. They're 10 bucks. If you're a first-time guest, it's free. You just stop by, give a communicator, and get one. Pick up a shirt. We just have a few more left. But today, we're finishing out this series. And I remember, I grew up, you may not know this, but I grew up as a pastor's son. My dad pastored in Latrobe. I was a Derry Trojan, class of 2000. Woohoo. Where's John at? Where'd John go? I have a fellow classmate here. He comes to our church. Where did John go? I don't know where he's at. He's around here somewhere. Anyway, there he is. Grew up as a pastor's son in Latrobe. And what that meant is that throughout the year, we just talked about missionaries. We had the privilege of getting to have missionaries stay in our home. So when a missionary would speak in our church, they'd stay in our house. And aside from occasionally having to give up my bed, it was one of the coolest things as a pastor's son, pastor's kid, to get to hear these missionaries. I would get to hear missionaries share amazing stories in our church and then go home and get to hear amazing stories and get to meet these heroes of the faith in person. And I remember one particular time that a missionary family stayed in our home for a few days. They had kids that were my age. And as they began to share their stories, and I remember just sitting there on the couch, I loved getting to hear the stories of what God is doing in Africa and Latin America and Asia. It was so neat. You'd be sitting there listening to these people share about what God has done in the supernatural as they were just obedient. And I remember this particular time as this family was sharing their stories, God began to do something in my life, even as I was just a little kid. And I didn't understand quite what God was doing because it was different this time than other times that missionaries had been to our home. Because in the past, it was all about just listening and receiving from what the missionaries were doing. But this time, God was sparking something in my heart that I was supposed to do something. That it wasn't just about what I was receiving from them, but I was supposed to give something to them. And I didn't quite know what that meant. I was trying to figure that out. And I talked to my parents, and I was trying to debate and just determine what was that. I thought, you know, sometimes when missionary kids were staying at our home, they'd play with my toys. And I thought, maybe I'm supposed to give them my old used toys. But God reminded me that you're not supposed to give them your leftovers. And as I was talking to my parents, my mom suggested, you know what, Nick? Maybe you should give up your Bullfrogs and Butterflies record. Now, this will date me a little bit. Some of you might think, he's only 15. How could he know what a record is? Believe it or not, I'm 31. I did have records. And this was my Bullfrogs and Butterflies record. And my mom said, maybe you should give that to them. And I thought, what? Not a chance. Why would my mom even suggest that? This is my prized possession. I loved that record. I had the songs memorized. I loved listening to Bullfrogs and Butterflies. I won't bear you the pain of hearing me sing the song right now. I've sang it for Heidi a number of times. It's a great song, so you can go look it up, search YouTube. You can listen to it later. But Bullfrogs and Butterflies was my prized possession. I couldn't believe my mom would even dare suggest I give that record away. But as God started to speak to me, I started to realize that this is what I had to do. Not because my mom was telling me to do it or suggesting it, but because I knew that's what God wanted. He wanted me not to give my leftovers. He wanted me to give what was valuable to me, what was the best. Because I knew as I watched these kids listen to the record themselves, that they wouldn't normally have had the opportunity to get a record like this. They're on the mission field. They're in a different culture, a different country. This was one little taste of home that they would be given when they were over on the mission field. And this was the part that I could play. And that day, I learned a lot about giving. Even as a young kid, God taught me a lot about giving. And I don't know if you can relate to the pain sometimes of giving something away that's valuable, where you part ways with something that is important to you. Maybe it was the time you gave away your first car, you got rid of it. It's a painful process. Some of you, you're still waiting for that first car. It'll come, don't worry. Some of you, maybe it was the day you moved out of your childhood home. Or maybe the day you moved out of the home that you raised your own children in. Maybe it's the moment that you had to give away something that was valuable to you as a child or watched your children give away something that was important to them. It's difficult when we part with our stuff because it's valuable to us. It's important to us. And when we part with our stuff, it feels like we lose a little bit of who we are. We give away a little bit of who we are. And it can be painful. But whatever it might be, parting with our stuff, especially the stuff that has the most value, can be difficult. What can be even more difficult is not when it's not just stuff, but when it's money. And we give away money because money has value to us because we can buy things with it. We call this buyer's remorse. If you've ever spent money on anything large like a house or a car or a large piece of equipment or a big flat screen television, you purchase the item and the day later or that evening you ask yourself, what did I do? Did I even have the money to do this? What was I thinking? Buyer's remorse. Hopefully you did have the money to purchase it. If you didn't, we'll talk about that later. But that's buyer's remorse. And it's difficult when we part with our stuff or with our money because it's valuable to us. And this morning, we're not here really to talk about our stuff or our money, but rather we're here to talk about what can happen when we purposefully give what is important to us to those that are in need. When we take something that's valuable to us and give it away. This isn't a support group for hoarders today. But what we're talking about is being generous. Being generous with what God has given us. You see, in Scripture and throughout this month, through this series, we've been talking about this idea that while we serve a perfect God, he loves imperfect people. It's a truth of Scripture. And I'm so glad that God loves imperfect people because we're all imperfect. And God modeled this idea of generosity, of giving for us. That he, in his love, gave everything that he had, his son, Jesus, for us, because we were imperfect. Jesus gave his life for us so that we could be made whole. God modeled this idea of generosity. And God has called us to model the idea of generosity. What I want to share with you this morning is this very simple thought, this simple idea. That when we can give God our best, he will bless the rest. When we give God our best, he will bless the rest. See, what can happen sometimes, just like what I did when I was a child, is we can kind of talk through this idea when God speaks to our heart or challenges us to give something, we think, well, God, I'll give you my leftovers. You know, I wanted to give these missionary kids my old toys, the ones that have been boxed up and dusty and I haven't played with for years and some maybe are broken. Because we don't want to give something valuable. We want to give something that really we won't feel the loss from. But God has called us to be generous. If we are willing to give God our best, he will always bless the rest. And that's something that he modeled for us. He modeled that clearly for us. When he gave his best, he gave his son so that we could be made whole. And as followers of Christ, as we follow Christ and we read God's word and we do our very best to follow the example that Christ set for us, what we're going to find is the closer we find ourselves to the heart of God, the more generous we become. Why? Because generosity is at the heart of God. It's what we were created. It's what we're created to be. In the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says that we were created in God's image. And if God is the most generous being in the universe, which he is, and we were created in his image, the closer we get to him, the more generous we will become. God desires that we are willing to give. Not give with clenched fists, but we are willing to give. And in the very last book of the Bible, the book of Malachi, we read about this challenge that God gives to his people, the nation of Israel, about generosity, about giving. And at this point in history, the Israelites had just returned from exile. They had been in exile for a number of decades in Babylon, and now they've returned to their homeland. Some of the people that returned had never seen their homeland because they'd been born in exile. And as they returned to their homeland, they finally rested in the place that they were meant to be, the nation of Israel. They started to put down roots and get comfortable. As they got comfortable, they started to hoard their stuff and their money, keep it to themselves, because they were so glad that finally they had things again. But what started to be missing was generosity. They had lost the giving heart. They lost the generosity that they were meant to have. And in Malachi chapter 3, when we're reading from verse 8, we see God give this challenge to his people. Very strong challenge. In fact, he actually says that in not giving, they were robbing God. Very strong, strong word from God. If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with me to Malachi chapter 3, starting in verse 8. The verses will be on the screen this morning. It's also on the back of your bulletin. Starting in verse 8, Malachi chapter 3, God says this: "Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings." This is a strong, strong statement by God. That his people were actually robbing him. That they were robbing him. How could they possibly be robbing him? How are they robbing God and withholding their money and withholding their stuff? And this is because the fact that they weren't giving wasn't simply affecting those around them, but it was affecting God. See, when we withhold our stuff, when we hold on to our resources that God has given us, and we hoard it, what happens is others aren't able to be blessed. Others aren't able to be impacted. And we aren't willing to be generous with what we have. We're not just hurting those people. We're also hurting the heart of God. Why is that? Because God is an advocate for his people, for his creation, especially those in need. When someone is in need, it breaks the heart of God. What does he do? He gives resources to people with the intention of that they will bless those in need. And then at the end of this statement, the nation of Israel asks God, "How are we robbing you?" He said, "In tithes and in offerings." And if you're not familiar with scripture or with church, tithes and offerings can be a confusing concept. And here's basically the idea of what it's talking about. In the beginning of the Bible, the Old Testament, God outlines this idea of tithing. And the tithing essentially was taking the first 10% of your livestock or your crops and giving them to God. Basically taking the best, not the leftovers, not well, we fed our kids, we've sold off what we could and all this, and this is what's left, God, here you go. But the first 10%, the best. Not the worst, not the leftovers, but the best. At this time period, they didn't have a monetary system. So crops and livestock, that was their money. That was what was valuable to them. And God encouraged them to give that first 10%. Not the leftovers, but the first 10% to God. And that was tithing. That was the idea of tithing. And today in 2013, we have the opportunity to do the same thing. To not give God leftovers, but to give God our best. Our first 10%. And I'm not just talking about money here. I'm talking about our lives. Giving our best to God, our first 10%. And the idea of offerings is anything above and beyond that. Anything above and beyond that. And we have the opportunity in our giving to be a blessing. See, ultimately, everything that we have, that we possess, your home, however much money you have in the bank, your car, everything that you possess ultimately isn't ours anyway. It's ultimately God's. But God has entrusted it to you as a steward. In essence, God understands that if resources pass through our hands, it has the ability to change our hearts. God has blessed us to be a blessing. That if we are willing to be a blessing, as resources pass through our hands, he's placed them in our hands so that we can be a blessing. Because as it passes through our hands, it has the opportunity to change our hearts. And the principle here is this: what we hold on to holds on to us. What we hold on to holds on to us. So if you become a greedy person, you know what? It's going to hold on to you. It's going to transform your heart. It's going to change your heart. But if you're willing to be a generous person, if you're willing to bless just as God has called you to do, it's going to change your heart. It's going to transform your heart. When we give God our best, he will bless the rest. God goes on in the very next statement. Listen to what he says. "You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house." He actually said that they were under a curse. Now, how could God, a God that loves his people so much — this is the same God, if you read earlier in the Old Testament, that would actually make circumstances and send plagues and everything to the Egyptians so that they would release his people. He loved these people so much. If God loved them so much, how could he possibly curse them? How could he do that? How could a God that loves his people so much curse them? And think about this for a minute. The whole nation of Israel at this moment was under a curse because when things are withheld, when resources are withheld, when our talents and our time is withheld, what it does is it breaks the operation of this world that God has set in motion. It does the same in 2013. It breaks the cycle of operation that God has created this world to operate under. See, God blesses us to be a blessing. He blesses us with the intention that we will be a blessing. If we hold on to things, we're not able to be a blessing. And what happens? It curses the world. Why? Because those who are in need aren't able to see their needs met. Because God has given you resources with the sole purpose of transferring them over to someone else in need so that it changes your heart. See, in America, we can believe this lie. This is the lie, that we are blessed because we're a free nation, that we are blessed because we are founded on biblical principles. That is not the truth. We are no different than any other country in the world. God has blessed us because we have been a blessing, because he understood that we would be a blessing. He blesses so that we can be a blessing. This is a core value of our church, that we exist to be a blessing. God has given us resources. He's given us talents. He's given us time with the sole purpose of blessing those in need, the sole purpose of blessing those who are without. And God entrusts those resources to us because he believes that we will give them away. He believes that we will bless someone else. And he goes on in the very next statement to kind of elaborate on this idea. Listen to what he says. Test me in this. God isn't messing around here. As he's talking to his people, he's saying, you're robbing me. Because you're robbing me and you're hoarding your stuff, your nation is now under a curse. But test me. Go ahead. I dare you. He's daring his people. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed. Can you say blessed? Blessed. All the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. What God is showing us here is when we are willing to be a blessing, when we hold our money and our possessions with open hands, God is able to use it to be a place of blessing. What does that mean? What does that mean to be blessed by God here? I just want to sidetrack and say what that does not mean. This is what it does not mean. It does not mean that God's desire for you or for any of us is to be rich and wealthy. Not the case. You can read from cover to cover. The Bible never once says that God's desire for you is to be rich and wealthy. There's a distorted teaching of Scripture sometimes that says, if you sow a seed financially, God is going to in turn make you prosperous and wealthy. That is a lie from the pit of hell, because there are people throughout the world that are living in poverty that are seeking after God. God's desire is not for you to be wealthy or rich. Scripture never says that if you seed a sow, or you sow a seed of resources or anything, that God's going to in turn give you that back plus more. You see, generosity with the intention of getting anything in return is not called generosity. It's called selfishness. I'll say that again. Generosity with the intention of getting anything in return is not generosity at all. It's called selfishness. God has not called us to be a selfish people. It's not about us. We give with the purpose of being a blessing. But when we give, a person that gives genuinely, with a generous heart, to be a blessing, that person is already blessed. They understand that God has entrusted them with resources, with talents, with time, with abilities, and they are simply stewards. And it is passing through their hands to someone else's so that they could be a blessing. That person is already blessed. And God desires for us to not be hoarders of our stuff. He's called us to be generous with what we have. Why would God not pour out his blessings and the blessings of heaven upon a person that was intentionally, purposefully willing to be a blessing to those around them? Of course he would. Now, to pause for a moment, I'm not saying that God is saying that saving money or or having nice things is evil or wrong in any way. God didn't say that at all. What he's saying is that when your stuff gets a hold of your heart, you've crossed a dangerous line. When it's all about gathering and gaining and hoarding more resources, more money, more stuff, you've crossed a dangerous line. God has blessed us with the sole purpose of being a blessing. Too often we can hold on to our best because we feel that God has given us the best simply to enjoy, simply for our own benefit. That God has given me all of this stuff so that I could benefit, so that I can kick back and relax because I deserve this. I deserve this stuff. In a blessed nation that we live in, it is so easy to believe the lie that we deserve what we have. I would encourage you, if you believe that, you need to go. You need to go to Haiti. You need to go to parts of Africa. Meet some of the people there. They are amazing people. People that have a heart for God. People that have done everything that God has asked of them. Sacrificed in incredible ways. They are no different than you or I are. God has not blessed us because we're anything special in that respect. He's blessed us so that we could be a blessing. And if we are willing to give God our best, he will always bless the rest. We are willing to place our best in his hands. The rest will always have far more value than the original 100% did. Always. See, when I was that day I gave my record to those missionary kids, God began a journey within me. That journey was a journey of discovery. It was discovering the value of my little bit and how valuable my little bit can have when I'm willing to place it in his hands. See, what I've learned is that whether I have a lot or a little, whether I have a lot of time or can't find the time, whether I feel talented in the situation or completely inadequate, when I'm willing to place my stuff, my life, my resources in God's hands, he always blesses the rest. Always. Because it's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the opportunity to be a blessing. God has blessed us to be a blessing. He's blessed us with that purpose. And when God blesses, just as he said in Malachi, there isn't enough room to hold what he will give back to us. Not that we do it with the intention of being rich and prosperous, because God never intended that. And it's not just about money. God blesses us so that we can continue to be a blessing. As you're a blessing, God's going to continue to bless you so that you can continue to be a blessing. Because that's what God's purpose is. So how can we be a blessing in 2013? What can we do? And I don't want you to get wrapped up simply in what you can do. Because generosity isn't simply about what you can do, but it's rather about how you see what you have. If you see the things that you have, your education, your talents and abilities, your finances, your time, if you see those things as something that you are entitled to, something that you deserve, it's a dangerous place because none of us deserve those things. Those are blessings of God. But if you can see those things as gifts that God has given you, you are simply the one that's holding it right now so that you can pass it on to someone else. Now all of a sudden you're seeing the world through eyes of generosity. And when you can understand that it isn't ultimately ours, we are simply stewards, God changes our perspective. We take the best of what we have and give it to those in need. With love and intention, we are going to see the world around us change. Not only because we will bring value to the world around us, but all of a sudden, we won't be grasping at everything around us with clenched fists, but we will be opening our hands with blessing to the world around us. And God will always bless what has been given. So how are you blessing the world around you? Question I have is, do you spend more time for your own benefit? The talents that God has given you, are they all about yourself? The resources he has given you, do you spend them just on you or your family? This idea of tithing, do you tithe to your church so that your church family can be a blessing to the community? See, today isn't just about money. I'm not here asking for money for the church. That's not the intention at all. I could care less about that. That isn't the intention. The goal of our church, the goal of every church, is to raise up followers of Christ. Our mission is to lead people into an overflowing life with Christ. Overflowing meaning what God has given us should flow out of our hearts and bless someone else. That is why we exist. That's why we're here. Over the last 150 years in church history, we've watched a shift take place in the church world. What's happened is fewer and fewer dollars are being given to the church. Fewer and fewer people are giving to the church. And this isn't to beat anyone up. It's the church has a lot to say about that. And it's not entirely people's fault. It's also the church's fault. But what's taken place over these last 150 years is there are organizations that have been founded, amazing organizations, that have been founded to do what the church originally was doing. Organizations like the United Way, Salvation Army, the Red Cross. These organizations today impact hundreds of thousands of people, and they are amazing, incredible organizations. And the founders of these organizations 150 years ago all understood the principle that God was talking about here in Malachi. That if a group of people, of like-minded people, are willing to give and to be generous, the results are measureless. Could you imagine what God could do in our community if we are willing to be generous? I'm not just saying giving to the church, but if we were willing at Eaton Park or Applebee's and we're sitting there at the restaurant to be aware of the needs around us and to be willing to pray for our waitress or waiter, to be willing to give a little extra on the tip, to not be stingy, to be generous. When we're willing to see the needs around us and when someone is in need, we're willing to step out of our comfort zone to reflect the heart of God and to give. Could you imagine what would happen in our community? Could you imagine what could happen in our county, in our region, if we captured this idea? As the worship team comes this morning, I want to dare you. God gave this dare to his people. He said, test me in this. I want to give you this dare this morning. Here's the dare. For the next 30 days, I want to encourage you to reflect this heart of generosity. Can you flip over your bulletin on the back of your bulletin? If you're willing to do this, before you write it, listen to what I have to say so you're not signing your name off to something you don't necessarily want to do. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to write, I will be a generous person. Here's what I'm asking you to commit to. For the next 30 days, you'll take the first 10 minutes of your day and give it to God. The first 10 minutes of your day, give it to God. If you're reading God's word, open the Bible, spend some time in worship like we do here this morning. Maybe it's praying for your family, praying for your day. Take the first 10 minutes of your day, for the next 30 days, for the next month, the first 10 minutes of your day and give it to God. Secondly, I want you to take the first 10% of every dollar you earn and give it to God. Just 30 days. I'm not asking you to do this forever. 30 days. First 10% of every dollar you make and give it to God. First 10%, not the leftover, the first 10%. And the third thing is, I want you to take one skill or ability that God has given you and use it to benefit someone else. Use it to benefit someone else. Maybe you're good with building with your hands. You can go help someone who's elderly fix their house. Or maybe you're good at sewing. You can help with one of our missionaries or help someone in the community that needs something. Take one skill or ability you have and use it to bless someone else. Those three things. First 10 minutes of your day. First 10% of what you earn. One skill or ability to bless someone else. Over the next 30 days, I want you to do this. If you want to take it a step further, I'd encourage you to get a journal or a notebook and record what God does. And I dare you to do this. And I can guarantee you in the next 30 days, if you're willing to take this dare, you're going to look back and see God transform your heart and your life in 30 days. If you're willing to do that, what I want you to do on the back of your bulletin is write, I will be a generous person. Sign your name, put the date, keep that. 30 days from this date, 30 days, the end of May, I will be a generous person. Sign your name, and I want you to keep that paper. Keep that in a place that you'll remember. First 10 minutes of your day. If you miss a day, it's not the end of the world. God is not looking down on you to condemn you. First 10 minutes of your day, first 10%, one skill or ability over this next month. God has called us to be generous. If you're willing to give God your best, he will always bless the rest. Not your leftovers, give God your best. God could do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever imagine when we were willing to give him our best. Would you stand with me this morning? Maybe you're here today and you've never given God anything. In fact, you've come to church simply to receive. It's just been about what can you get out of church or what can you get out of God. The idea of giving God sounds so foreign to you. And this morning, we have the opportunity, believe it or not, to give back to God something that he created. That is our lives. Maybe you're here today and you've never been to church, or maybe you have before, but you've never taken the step to give your life to him. The Bible teaches us that while we're imperfect, he sent his son. He gave us this gift. He sent Jesus to come to this earth, to die upon the cross, to be a sacrifice for our sin, for our mistakes, for the things that we have done in our past that keep us separate from him. And in that sacrifice upon the cross, he covered our imperfection. He covered our sin. And now we can be seen as righteous and holy in his eyes if we are willing to accept his forgiveness. That forgiveness is experienced as we give our lives to him, that gift. If you're here this morning, you've never taken the step to give your life to Christ, I don't want to move forward until we give you the opportunity to do that. I'm going to ask you in a moment to raise your hand. Giving takes action. This is an action to say, God, today I give my life to you. And we're going to pray together as a church family because we do this together. If that's you this morning, you need to take that step of action. I'm going to ask you on the count of three to raise your hand. And we're going to pray together. One, two, if that's you, you're ready to give your life to God today. I ask you to raise your hand. Three. That's you this morning. That's you today. Anyone here today? Can we pray this morning? Pray that God would seal decisions that might be made even right now. Would you follow my lead this morning? Just repeat this prayer after me as a prayer from your heart. Dear God, I thank you that you willingly gave your son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. Today, I accept your forgiveness. I commit to live for you. I commit to be a blessing with what you have given me. Help me to walk as Jesus did. Help me to love as Jesus did. Help me to walk in freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.